13. The first full day of the summit got off to a good start. The same hall that hosted the reception had been converted overnight to house the summit. This struck Martin as odd, but Gwen would later point out that Britt had worked at a large resort hotel and had designed this room as a sort of convention center. Tables large enough for two adults to sit comfortably were arranged in neat rows. Each table had a place card naming two representatives and the time traveler communities from which they came. Also, the statue of a toga-clad Harriet Tubman that had caused all of the commotion the night before had already been replaced. Philip asked one of the guards why the statue had fallen and was told,
"Britt the Elder seems to know what's going on,"
which Philip agreed was true, but pointed out was not an answer. All of the delegates found their way to their assigned seats. The tables were arranged alphabetically, chronologically, so if there were two teams from a given place, whichever team was from an earlier point in history came first. This meant that the table next to Martin and Phillips was assigned to Gilbert and Sid, the two dandies from 19th century London who'd been so hostile the night before. The Atlantis delegation was last to arrive. Both of the Brits, Ida, the president, and several other women, Gwen among them, all arrived together. Britt the younger and Ida took their places as delegates. At the head of the room, a dais held a podium where Britt the elder took her assigned place as the speaker. The rest of the team from Atlantis took seats in the observers' areas set along both sides of the hall. The proceedings began with a brief overview of the schedule and a list of the topics to be discussed during the summit. It was all perfectly straightforward. The first item of business was the adoption of a formal name for the time-traveling, magic-using peoples being governed by the summit. Britt the Elder mentioned offhand that she favored the term time travelers, and that until the formal vote, that was the term she would use. Not that it mattered, since she also mentioned that she remembered that this was the term the group would vote to use anyway. Other than that, most of the agenda dealt with prevention of abuse by time travelers of the indigenous peoples and other time travelers. The only part that confused those listening was when Britt the Elder announced,
"Sessions will begin promptly at 9 o'clock each morning, and will run until 5 each evening, except for next Sunday, which we'll have off, and today's session, which will end abruptly this afternoon after something unexpected happens."
The morning session proceeded past Martin like a slow-motion blur. It was a room full of earnest people having serious conversations about topics of great importance and very little interest. At one point, Philip caught Martin on the verge of nodding off. Philip prodded Martin with his elbow. Martin sat up and tried to look interested, but he grumbled while he did it.
"What's wrong with you?" Philip asked.
Sorry. Watching parliamentary procedure always makes me bored and angry. I think it has to do with the Star Wars prequels."
Philip furrowed his brow.
"Wait a minute. They made prequels to Star Wars?"
Martin winced. He remembered that he, Tyler, Gary, and Jeff had all sworn never to tell Philip about the Star Wars prequels.
"There are some things about the future that he's better off not knowing," Jeff had argued.
Like all events designed to help people meet and better understand each other, most of the real progress took place during breaks. The highlight of the day was during the lunch break, when someone pointed out that Philip, a purebred Englishman, was eating a burrito, while one of the Aztec delegates had magicked up an order of authentic London fish and chips. After lunch, there was another monotonous barrage of absolutely vital discussions. Martin managed to stay awake, but just barely. During the afternoon break, he made his way out to the corridor. He produced a large cup of coffee from his hat and was just about to take a sip when he saw Gwen. He made a beeline for her, mostly because he loved spending time with her, but also because he knew that she was from a time near his and would understand his Star Wars prequel reference, which had sailed right over Philip's head.
"Hey, Gwen, how's it going?" he asked.
"Good, Martin," she replied. "How are you today?"
"Fine, I'm fine.
I gotta say, though, this meeting, with all of these motions being raised and seconded, I feel like I'm in one of the Star Wars prequels.
I know,
Gwen enthused. She proceeded to go on at length about how much she loved the Star Wars prequels, and how particularly the parts set in the Galactic Senate gave all of the events much more of a sense of gravitas. Martin drank his coffee as quickly as he could and tried to pretend the conversation wasn't happening. Finally, mercifully, a bell rang, announcing that the break would end in 1 minute. As Martin returned to his seat, he noticed that Philip had apparently spent the break sitting in the president's empty seat, talking to Britt the Younger. Philip walked back to his own seat, smiling. Britt remained at hers, smiling as well. Philip was nearly to the table when the hall resounded with a dull pop. Philip looked stricken. Martin saw Philip make an involuntary grasping motion with his right hand, his usual staff hand. Martin also saw that Philip's staff was still on the table next to where Martin sat. Philip spun around just in time to see Britt the Younger, still in her seat, looking upward at another of the toga-draped goddess statues, which, like the one the night before, was falling directly on top of her. Martin yelled, "Philip!" He threw Philip's staff at him, but it was far too late. The statue hit the floor with astonishing force. A deafening crash reverberated throughout the hall. People dove for cover as chunks of statue flew through the air. Once the noise subsided, the delegates turned to look at the damage. They saw the ruined base of the statue and a great deal of rubble. Philip was still standing exactly where he had been when the statue first started to fall, and in the center of all the rubble, there was Britt the Younger, sitting on the floor amongst the splintered kindling that used to be her chair and table. She looked at the ruins around her and at the empty space where the statue used to stand, and she said,
"Seriously?"
The head of the statue rolled noisily to a stop. Martin looked at it, grimaced, and said,
"Ugh, is that Ayn Rand?"
The sound of a gavel echoed through the hall. All eyes turned to the podium, and Britt the Elder was rapping her gavel for order.
"As I stated this morning, something unexpected has occurred. I move that we adjourn for the day. Seconded?"
Britt the Younger seconded the motion.